Hey, I got a sermon here that I want to talk to you about. And it's called Regifting. We're in a series of this, gifting, regifting of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so today, we kind of had an introduction last week about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the apostle today. And the apostle is an interesting person because, and I'm going to come from the perspective that this is the one sent, and the one sent today are missionaries or church planters. That's where I'm going to come from. I know there's a whole bunch of other ways to teach it, but I feel that this is where I see this being most applicable into our congregation. And then next week, we have Pastor, just cut this part out. I'm just going to call him Pastor Thomas because I can't pronounce his last name very well. And Elaine and I went to Italy with him, and he's going to come and speak about the ministry in Italy next Sunday. Speedy Digliarzo, something like that. He'll listen to this tape and go, come on, Caruso, you're Italian, you can't even say my name. But anyways, he's got just this heart for Italy, and I just want you to hear his heart. He's an apostle, okay? I think he's an apostle. And so I'm excited about him coming. So it says in Ephesians 11 to 13, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And there's a purpose for these gifts, so that the body of Christ might be built up. It's not so that we can have people go into careers for ministry. That's not it at all. A long time ago, I realized that my calling to a church as a pastor wasn't a career. It wasn't a career move. It was a group of people long before I ever got there that believed that if they set aside enough money, they could have somebody who could spiritually care for them, spiritually teach them, so that they could grow. So actually, I'm a missionary here. I'm a missionary in every church. Every pastor is still a missionary. There's no guarantee. This is not a career. This is not a job. Although we're looked after very, very blessedly in this congregation. But it's not a job. I'm called here. I know I was called here. Lane knows we're called here. You know we're called here. Some of you are doubting that now, but still, I'll hang on to the former. I know that absolutely God spoke to me and spoke to Elaine and said, you will be the pastors of Richmond Pentecostal Church, that before we ever entered into the whole process of the procedure that we do to call pastors. And so I'm not hired here, I'm called here. And neither are the other pastors that are here. And hopefully none of you are here because of any other reason than being called. Because we have a purpose here. So I'm going to look at these gifts as the trades gifts. In other words, like tradespeople, when you build a house, you need architects, you need framers, you need roofers, electricians, finishing carpenters, plumbers. You need all these kind of people, gyprock guys, right, Russ? You need all this kind of stuff so that you can get your house done, so that you can live in your house. Some people are gifted to be able to do that whole thing. I'm not. I'm a good renovator, but I'm not a good guy to walk into a piece of property and go say, I could see the house here and I could see this here. I can't do that. I don't know why I don't have that. But I can come into some place that's already established and say, I could change this. We bought a brand new house and tore the walls out. Like, brilliant, didn't it? And then I, Jim the welder, did a lot of the reconstruction. I've pastored churches where the pastor has had his hand in helping. The best thing a church can do, and maybe this is something I'm prophesying right now, is when we go to build, send the pastor away for a year. In the future, it'll pay off because he won't have his finger in the pie. He won't mess it up, and you'll have to redo it. So we're going to build here. Want to go somewhere, Lane? I'm not saying that. But actually, I'll give that over to somebody else. I will not be the general contractor. Hallelujah. But God is the general contractor in this. He is the general contractor, and he has given us all sub-trades. And so I think that the fivefold ministry, or what we just mentioned in Ephesians, is this this group of tradespeople that are coming in to build the body, not buildings. Buildings, this was a beautiful building and it's still very functional, but this building was built, I think, in 1978, and it was glorious at the time. It was state-of-the-art, it was everything, but it wears out. Things wear out, but the body of Christ doesn't wear out. It gets bigger, gets stronger, gets healthier, and is more effective. And that's what we have to have in our mind when we look at the church. The church is not the building, not the denomination. It's you. And we have this privilege as leaders, to equip you. So, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we are not going to teach it in this order because we have different people who are going to speak into these areas, and so with scheduling and all that, it's going to work differently. Evangelists are going to be, Elaine's going to speak on the prophet. That'll be right at the end. The evangelist, Pastor Stephen's going to speak on the evangelist, and I'll speak on the pastor, and Pastor Stephen's going to speak on the teacher. So it's going to be an exciting thing from different perspectives. Because if you get it, if you get all these other offices, these gifts, and I talk about them from the pastoral point of view, that's all you'll hear. Because I see things through the pastor's glasses. I don't see them through the evangelist's glasses. So you'll get a chance to see these different ministries through the people who operate in them. And there's a purpose for this, that we equip the body to be built up, but until we reach a unity, the unity of faith, so we can be together in faith. And that's what we need to do. Wherever two or more are gathered, there he is in our midst. And he said, wherever two or three agree, that he'll do that thing. So think about it when 500, 600 people get together and agree. It makes a big difference in the spiritual realm. So that we can be in unity in the faith and in the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. We want to know him better, right? I'm learning more and more. I finally accomplished, hallelujah, reading through the Bible in a year. Now that'll put a lot of pressure on you. Go, well, I never, and I just feel really bad. No, don't feel bad. But just, I failed many years in a row. But I just find new stuff coming out of the scriptures for me. It's just beautiful. And I don't read the Bible, I have to admit. I have somebody read it to me. I just push the little button on my iPad and and it just goes on and on and on, and it's great. And he's not a monotone, so he doesn't put me to sleep. But it's neat to read and hear the scripture. So we want to know the knowledge of the Son of God, and we want to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We want to become mature, all right? I know when I was immature, the damage I caused and the idealistic ways I looked at things, that's crazy. We shouldn't be always immature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. I want to be full in Christ, and I want Christ to be full in me, so that when I'm around people or when I'm in a situation, I know that God is there. I know Jesus is there living inside of me, and I can open my mouth and he'll fill. And that he'll give me, like, all those days where I wasn't cranky, and he'll still carry me through the day that I am cranky. You understand what I'm saying? I want to become more like him. I don't know whether Jesus was ever cranky. I know he got ticked off with the Pharisees. I don't think he was cranky. I think he was just speaking it. There's the difference between speaking the truth in love and loving to speak the truth. Right? So this is what the apostle is. A delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. So that's why I kind of lean towards the apostle being a missionary, a church planter. And when we went to Poland and Ukraine last year, that's what we did. We met with church planters. And we encouraged them and blessed them. And they were just people who got saved and went out because God put a call on their heart to plant a church. We went to Italy, it's the same thing. People there, just God has called them because they know Jesus. They don't have all the resources. They don't have all the money. They don't have all the education. They just have this call on their life to go plant a church and let him teach them. And we come alongside, and that's the whole idea of doing work in Italy and Poland and Ukraine and China and all these places so we can go and help equip. But they're already going and planting. And then specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Jesus, the 12 disciples. And we get all those different things mixed up, but apostles are those who are sent. And of course, Jesus was with them. He's the first one sent. And they learned how to be sent. And then when he died, he sent them out into the world. So the sent ones are, they're called to go and preach the gospel. That's it. Whatever you do when you go, it's to preach the gospel. And that doesn't mean that you have to do King James everything. I've had a person in one of my congregations, that's all he would speak is King James Scripture. Honestly, I'd go for coffee and that's... It drove me nuts. I don't speak King James and there's nothing wrong with it, but when I'm sitting and talking with somebody and I say, well, how's your day? And he gives me a scripture. And so what are you planning to do for your holidays? Give me a scripture. It's like, we live in this world and we don't talk like that all the time. I need to be able to engage with somebody. Now, we can bring the gospel in, and many times without words. But apostles are commissioned or sent out to establish or plant churches. They're commissioned. We're all commissioned to go forth and preach the gospel, but there's specific commissioning of apostles to go forth into specific areas. So here's one. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. And so we'll see how these gifts overlap. Barnabas and Simeon called Niger and Lucius and from Cyrene and Mahanan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Can you imagine? They hung out together. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, because they were kind of connecting with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, set apart. Just set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. That's where the call comes from, is the Holy Spirit. And when it comes into your life, and some of you know that, some of you have responded to that, some of you are struggling with responding to that. I remember the first time God said, I want you to leave the ambulance service and I want you to go in the ministry, and I said, nope. First of all, there's not as good a pension in the ministry, or in the ministry, you don't get to wear this cool uniform. You don't get to go into all the high crises. I learned different since I've been in the ministry. But at that time, it was kind of a selfish thing. I wanted my own TV program, and I want those little epaulets that go on here. You know, I like to be the guy in the church that was, hey, you're a paramedic, a Christian paramedic. You must see bad things. Then he could tell stories. I wanted to do that. I wanted to end up with a pension. Every time I hear an ambulance go down the road, I go, there goes my superannuation pension. But I'm over it, okay? I'm way over it. I'm still way overweight and living inside, so I'm doing good. So after they had prayed and fasted, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Isn't that cool? And the beauty is that they went. And you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know how you're going to get there, and you don't know how you're going to survive when you're there. Dawson City, we went to Dawson City, first church, walked up on the porch, and somebody said, hi, pastor, and I looked around to see if somebody else was on the porch with me. So I didn't know I was the pastor. We were called, we were at Nunoose Bay. We lived in Vancouver Island before we left, and it was like, this is really terrible, but they would have missions Thursday. And so all the missionaries would come, and that's when everybody seemed to go shopping. And so because missionaries were kind of boring in those days. They really were. They started with a sunrise in their 8-millimeter slides, and then they ended it with the sun going down, and it was like, oh, how long before the sun goes down? You know, they're talking. It was just like, there was no life, it just seemed. And so we were going to go shopping. And then we said, oh, well, maybe we should go because, you know, we're going in the ministry. And so I'm sitting there in my blue jeans, and that wasn't even acceptable. And then we looked at all the missionaries that were listed that were at the camp, and we were missionaries. We didn't know we were missionaries, but we were going to Dawson City. That's the Siberia of Canada. That's as far north as you can go, far west as you can go in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And we were missionaries up there. We didn't even know it. I'm glad I went to that meeting because we looked spiritual, not shopping. The apostle is like the person who builds spec homes. That's the way I look at it. They come into an area, and they look at, this is a good place to build a house or a whole bunch of houses. And so we'll take and we'll invest in this property. We'll develop, we can see it because we have a vision for this property. And we will prepare and develop a place for people to live. That's what I think missionaries do. That's what I think apostles do. That's what I know church planters do. The apostle knows where to go, what to look for, and how to prepare the raw potential to develop and establish a church for God. He's not building houses. He's building places of worship. And that could be just under a tree with a tin roof, or that could be in a cathedral somewhere. When we were on Salt Spring Island, we pastored there, and we were renting this little place. And this fellow, that friend of mine, him and I raised sheep, and so we kind of got to know each other. But he never came to our church. But he had he had a construction company called Hopeless Construction. And his logo was, I told you we weren't perfect. That's honestly, that was on his business card. I love the guy. And he is so busy all the time. So I could hardly wait if we had the money to build a faith cathedral by Hopeless Construction. I was going to get him to just be the contractor. So using this metaphor of a tradesperson and building a house, we recognize that the apostle is usually the first to establish the foundation of this church. We must realize that other gifts are used along with his gift of the apostle. So they go in and they start. This church here is a large church now, but started in a farmhouse. Started in a farmhouse with a family gathering with other people. A lot of our church is started by women coming and starting a Sunday school, and our church is expanding to a place where, of course, a woman at that time couldn't pastor the church, so we had to bring in a man. And that's changed now, hallelujah. But there's a lot of our churches, CLA, we have Fraser View, all some of the bigger churches have been all started by somebody with a vision, somebody who was an apostle who went in and just started winning children, bringing families, and building a church. So some of the different gifts that the apostle will use in this office of apostle are the prophet. This is the things we talked about. They may be a prophetic, they may have a prophet's ministry, they may have evangelists, and obviously they will have an evangelist ministry. They'll be pastors because they'll care for people, and they'll be teachers because they'll develop and disciple. But also, we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 9, and the apostle will use these gifts as well. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, words of wisdom we find in 1 Corinthians, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing or discerning between spirits, speaking in tongues, all kinds of tongues, interpretation of those tongues. And we need to understand that we're going to go through all these gifts because you go, well, he's teaching on these five gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, but I don't feel any of those. And that's okay because there's a bunch of other gifts that we're going to look at that I know that God has called some of you into, and we're going to encourage you to develop those gifts. When you're a tradesman, you know that some people are good in their trade and they're not good in other trades. So I'm a welder. I've had all my tickets. I still have a B ticket. I can still weld. But I am not a carpenter. And carpenters know that. And I'm not a machinist. Because machinist tolerances are just in thousands, little numbers. Like, they don't even make up an inch. My tolerance is like 4 inches and a foot. That's a long range. Because I can always fill it in or cut it out and make it better. Paint it, grind it and paint it, and it looks awesome. It drives machinists nuts because they're so fine, so precise. And I remember doing some electrical work for my mom. And my buddy who I went to school with became an electrician, and I had my business, my welding business in the same town. And my mom went to turn the switch on, and all the lights went out. I don't know, there's too many wires to hook up, and I didn't do it right, I guess. And so when he came down to fix it, he said to my mom, "Tell Jim that he's a good welder, but to stay away from the electrical, because he's no good at that." We just have some certain gifts, and we have tools that go with those gifts. I know as well, and I'll talk about this when I'm talking about the pastor, that I use these different gifts in different areas of my ministry. That whole area about, just back at one slide, the gift of healing. It's not the gift of healing. Translated properly, it's the gift of the gifts of healing. And we can continue to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We need to believe that God is alive and able to do that. There's a gift of faith that's different than the faith that you have. These are all the things we're going to look at. So here's what an apostle does. Paul, great church planner. Paul, great prophet. Lots of different types of ministry. But listen to him as an apostle in Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul then stood up in a meeting in the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." So he's very observant to the spiritual temperature of somebody. I think sometimes what has happened in our lives as Christians and as we go forward, we go and we think that everybody's starting spiritually right at the bottom, and they should be so thankful that we come in and we change their lives because we know the truth. We need to understand that they're on a spiritual journey, and some of them are way off in their spiritual journey, but we need to come alongside them and find out where they are. They're not at square one spiritually. They're maybe at square one with Jesus, but they're on a journey, and that's exciting. Some of you go, "Well, they're really steep." Pastor Stephen, it's wonderful that your in-laws are spiritually sensitive, even in that Buddhist religion. And I don't say that I endorse Buddhism, but I do endorse people seeking out the truth. And now, they've been in that for a long time, now God is working in their lives and they're starting to see that that's not enough. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's why we come to Christ in different ways. So Paul says, "I see that you're very religious." Leonard Sweet has a book called Nudge. You need to come along somebody, listen. Before you talk, listen, find out where they're at. Look around their house. Look around what they're reading. And then go, "Hey, that's interesting what you're reading. That's interesting that plaque on your wall that says such and such a scripture." And then use that to find out where they are spiritually. Don't assume that they have no spiritual connection. Because Paul says, "For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship," this is what an apostle will do, is they'll go into a certain, or she'll go into a certain area, and they'll study the culture. Now we call it cross-cultural ministries. But they'll go in and they'll go, "This is what they believe, this is why they wear this, this is why they live in these kind of houses, these are what these little temples are, this is why they eat this food and they don't eat that food." And they'll start to assimilate that all into an understanding of the culture. And we kind of project that to overseas. At least us white people do. But some of you have great insight because you lived in countries where we haven't. But we have to even in Richmond, I have to, as a pastor, step back and say, if I was a missionary here from, and I never lived in Canada before, what would I be looking for? What would I be sensitive to? Our youth pastor has to understand the culture within our culture of young people. Pastor Trish is the same thing. What are the kids understanding? Why are they the way they are? How do all the Game Boys and all the different video games and stuff like that, how is that affecting our society? We can't stick our head in the ground. We have to understand that so that we can reach them. So Paul says, for I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription. I love this. He just took this and it says, to an unknown God. They had built an altar to an unknown God. They didn't know who this God was. God had established himself there, just hadn't put his name on the statue, on the altar. Isn't that great? God has established that in every one of your families. He's got an altar that says the unknown God. They don't know why, they don't know how, they don't know what's going on, but the God that desires them to come to him has already established an altar in their lives. And it's unknown to them. So Paul says, let me tell you about this unknown God. What an open door. But that's what a church planner, that's what an evangelist does as well. But that's what a church planner, that's what a missionary, that's what he can see. He can see the lay of the land and say, guess what? There's already this established. Let's build around that. There's a chunk of rock there. Let's build on the rock. Isn't that beautiful? So you are ignorant. I don't know whether you should use that word or not. So you're ignorant, but in the truest sense, they just don't know. We use it in the wrong context. The very thing you worship. But this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Paul just laid it out. That's your unknown God. And so God has created every person in this world in his image. I was watching a video on urban church ministry. And the speaker said this. He said that God has created us in his image. And he loves people. And he loves people more than he loves animals. And so rural ministry is God loves urban ministry because there's more people in the urban settings than there is in the rural areas. Now, does he dislike people who live on the farm? No. But he really likes it when there's like people jammed in to neighborhoods because there's more reflection of him. And we live in an urban place. And I've never lived in a large urban place like this before. My brother Lawrence Ray lives in Malacqua, and that's not a large urban place, is it? What's that? God loves you. He does. And it's a beautiful place. But when we think, we got to think that God has this purpose for us in this community to touch the lives of thousands of people. And my understanding is that they're projecting a million new people in the Lower Mainland in the next 10 years. And we can figure in Richmond to probably get at least 100,000 of them. Isn't that exciting? Probably some of you are going, well, yeah, but it's going to crowd my neighborhood. And look at the roads now. We don't have enough bridges. And oh, boy, and the grocery stores, the lineups are already so wet out. Who cares? Because that's all about you. So when you're in the next traffic jam, pray for all those people. And you can't be angry if you're going to do that. Or you could do it like Elaine used to do when we were in Victoria. You know the nose and glasses? Groucho Marx? We used to have them in the glove box. People are not very happy in the intersections. So we'd pull up and she'd open the glove box and put this on and look at them. Look at the driver right next to her. And the guy would start to laugh. The light had changed. And he'd still be there and we'd be driving. She'd put the glasses away very nicely. Wait for the next intersection. You got to take advantage. Maybe that's not a good thing, but you got to take advantage of where you are and realize that God has got you there for a purpose. And I'm excited about another 100,000 people coming into this area, because we want to reach all the people that God has for us to reach. So in Hebrews chapter 3, it says this: "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He is faithful to the one who appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself." Who's the builder of the house? Jesus Christ. He wants to build it, and he wants to start with apostles. So this is the altar call for this morning, at least the first one. And that is, these gifts are alive and well in our church. And so maybe, and I've talked to a few of you about missions. Some of you have this stirring inside you that God is calling you to go on a missions trip, short-term missions. Now, maybe I should just qualify this. Well, maybe you should go, if you're really committed, go for, like, be a formal missionary and go for like 4 or 5 years and then come back in 5 or 6 years, and you should just maybe live in that country. Well, you know, there was a day when it was the transportation to transport somebody over to China or South Africa or somewhere like that was unbelievable. And so people would just commit themselves. Now, there are still people who commit themselves to being career, if you want, missionaries. But we can jump on a plane and we can go and minister for 2 weeks in a country, strengthen the missionaries that are there and come back. We also need to have indigenous missionaries. They're far more effective than we are that don't live in that country. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that God has a plan, and so it might be short-term missions, and you just need to plan on that to for God to supply your needs and for you to go. All he wants you to do is say, yes, I'll go. That's all he wants. Yes, I'll respond to my call as an apostle. Maybe it's to plant a church. You're going, oh, I have that in my heart, but nobody's ever asked me about that before. We want to plant churches from this church. We want to plant churches from this church. Maybe here in Richmond. Maybe here in BC. Maybe somewhere in Canada. Maybe in some other country. We want to plant churches. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you'll come alongside somebody because you have that vision as an apostle and you want to be with them. So I want you to stand. I want the worship team to come back. And we're going to go through that. We're going to do this with every gift. Because what we're going to do is we're going to have you, if there's something in your heart. Now, maybe, I was just thinking, husbands and wives, you might not even talked about this to each other. And you're going, like, if I come up front and my husband doesn't know or my wife doesn't know that this has been on my heart, we're going to have an interesting lunch talk. Because you might not feel or maybe haven't even discussed it. But what I want you to do is respond to the Holy Spirit. I want everyone to stand, okay? And I want you to, if this message is spoken into your heart, but this is a particular gift that God has been doing some work in your life, if you feel called, wherever, however, maybe you don't even know the details, but inside your heart, God is saying to you, you need to respond to this, because what we're going to do is we're going to commission you. We're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to commission you to go. Wherever that go is, I don't know. But God does, and he's the one working on your life. Don't let finances, don't let age, don't let anything stop you from responding to him. So I want you to come right down to the front right now. All right? Come on right down. Gather around in the middle here. I want all the people that God has been speaking to about being an apostle, a missionary, a church planter, a supporter of that. I want you to come right in the front here.